Today is the 25th day of the month of January. Welcome to the Daily Audio Bible. I am Brian. It's really great to be here with you today as we greet a shiny, sparkly week. The last full week of this month, because the last day of this week is the last day of this month. So, here we are, like we do. Brand new, shiny, sparkly week. Can you see it? Just imagine us all standing here facing the same direction, and that's forward. We're all just here in a big line, in a big grouping. We're looking out over this week that is upon us. And this week, our task is to tell the story of our lives. And we will. We have no choice. We will. And that will be done with thoughts and words, of course, and choices and actions. And it will all add up. And it will be the story of our life this week. And so, we're in this practice. We're in this idea of becoming self-aware. Being aware of the fact that life isn't just happening to us and we're not just reacting to everything. We're happening to life and we have a lot of control made in the image of God to create what life is going to look like this week. Certainly there are things that are unforeseen that happen all the time, but as we get into the rhythm of watching, we know better how to respond instead of just react. And this is so very important to our work of going through the Bible and allowing it to transform us. So, here we are, friends, together, looking out over the last week of the first month of the year, if you can believe it. This is the last shot at this month of January. Holy cow. Like 1/12 of the way through. Already, just like that. And so let's choose wisely. And that's kind of cliche, but no, truly, let's choose wisdom. Let's choose to live in wisdom wisely this week. Today is a transition day. We are going to complete the first book that we're completing in the Bible. And that happens to be the first book of the Bible. Today, we will conclude the book of Genesis and then move in to the book of Exodus. And we'll talk about Exodus when we get there. So today, Genesis chapter 50, and that will conclude the book of Genesis, and then we'll read Exodus chapter 1, verse 1 through 2, verse 10. We'll read from the New International Version this week. Joseph threw himself on his father and wept over him and kissed him. And Joseph directed the physicians in his service to embalm his father Israel. So the physicians embalmed him, taking a full 40 days, for that was the time required for embalming. And the Egyptians mourned for him 70 days. When the days of mourning had passed, Joseph said to Pharaoh's court, "If I have found favor in your eyes, speak to Pharaoh for me. Tell him, my father made me swear an oath and said, 'I am about to die. Bury me in the tomb I dug for myself in the land of Canaan. Now let me go up and bury my father, then I will return.'" Pharaoh said, "Go up and bury your father, as he made you swear to do." So Joseph went up to bury his father. All Pharaoh's officials accompanied him, the dignitaries of his court and all the dignitaries of Egypt, besides all the members of Joseph's household and his brothers and those belonging to his father's household. Only their children and their flocks and herds were left in Goshen. Chariots and horsemen also went up with him. It was a very large company. When they reached the threshing floor of Atad, near the Jordan, they lamented loudly and bitterly, and there Joseph observed a 7-day period of mourning for his father. When the Canaanites who lived there saw the mourning at the threshing floor of Atad, they said, "The Egyptians are holding a solemn ceremony of mourning. That is why that place near the Jordan is called Ebel Mitzrayim." So Jacob's sons did as he had commanded them. They carried him to the land of Canaan and buried him in the cave in the field of Machpelah near Mamre, which Abraham had bought along with the field as a burial place from Ephron the Hittite. After burying his father, Joseph returned to Egypt, together with his brothers and all the others who had gone with him to bury his father. When Joseph's brothers saw that their father was dead, they said, "What if Joseph holds a grudge against us and pays us back for all the wrong we did to him?" So they sent word to Joseph saying, "Your father left these instructions before he died. This is what you are to say to Joseph. I ask you to forgive your brothers the sins and the wrongs they committed in treating you so badly. Now please forgive the sins of the servants of the God of your father." When their message came to him, Joseph wept. His brothers then came and threw themselves down before him. "We are your slaves," they said. But Joseph said to them, "Don't be afraid. Am I in the place of God? You intended to harm me, but God intended it for good to accomplish what is now being done, the saving of many lives. So then, don't be afraid. I will provide for you and your children." And he reassured them and spoke kindly to them. Joseph stayed in Egypt along with all his father's family. He lived 110 years and saw the third generation of Ephraim's children. Also, the children of Machir, son of Manasseh, were placed at birth on Joseph's knees. Then Joseph said to his brothers, "I am about to die, but God will surely come to your aid and take you up out of this land to the land he promised on oath to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob." And Joseph made the Israelites swear an oath and said, "God will surely come to your aid, and then you must carry my bones up from this place." So Joseph died at the age of 110. And after they embalmed him, he was placed in a coffin in Egypt. Okay, that concludes the book of Genesis. The first book, believe it or not, we have concluded the first book of the Bible, which brings us to the second book of the Bible. The second book in the Torah, the book of Exodus. And so we'll be picking up the same story. This is the story of this family, the family of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. But we're picking up the story centuries later. So the original children of Israel, all these names that are the tribes of Israel, they have all died, including Joseph, who we just bore witness to his death. They all have died, but they have also all flourished. And so these people of God have become as numerous as the stars in the heavens. It's exactly as God promised Abraham. This flourishing is a bit of a problem, though, because they are growing stronger and stronger in number and in strength and in influence. And the Egyptians begin to fear their numbers and to fear their loyalty. And now we're centuries in the future, and so by this time, Egypt has also forgotten about Joseph in the way that he had saved them from devastation so long ago. So the Egyptians enslaved Israel's children, Jacob, Israel's children, and the new Pharaoh instituted a barbaric form of birth population control. He demanded that every newborn Hebrew boy be thrown into the Nile River to drown. But the girls could live. Obviously not a good plan, obviously not a good day for the children of Israel. But we'll begin to see this very meticulous, long arc of redemption, of God's plan as this story unfolds. And we will also see formidable opposition to the promise that he made to Abraham so long ago of a people that would be set apart to reveal him to the world. So in our world, we have the promise of instant gratification. We can barely comprehend the idea of a promise from God that will not be accomplished in our lifetime, or that will not be accomplished in the next year, much less centuries, that it will take centuries to reach its full bloom. But as we look back on the story of the scripture that we've read thus far, we see God's foresight. We see intentionality with the children of Israel. First, God promised a land and descendants without number to Abraham. And this miraculously began through Isaac, a child born at a time where neither Abraham or Sarah should be able to bear children. God revealed himself then to Abraham's son of promise, Isaac, who passed the promise to Jacob. And then God revealed himself to Jacob. His name was changed to Israel, who passed it on to his 12 sons, the children of Israel. So although it had been centuries and the people were enslaved far away from this land of promise, the promise was still there. The promise still remained. And so when the children of Israel begin to cry out to God, God hears. A baby boy was indeed put into the Nile as commanded, but he wasn't thrown in to drown. He was placed in the river inside of a wicker basket. And this wicker basket with the baby inside was discovered by Pharaoh's daughter, who adopts him, who rescues him, who saves him. And he was given the name Moses. And we will certainly be getting to know Moses very well in the coming weeks and be traveling under Moses' leadership for quite some time in this story. And so with that, we begin the book of Exodus. These are the names of the sons of Israel who went to Egypt with Jacob, each with his family: Reuben, Simeon, Levi, and Judah, Issachar, Zebulun, and Benjamin, Dan, and Naphtali, Gad, and Asher. The descendants of Jacob numbered 70 in all. Joseph was already in Egypt. Now Joseph and all his brothers and all that generation died, but the Israelites were exceedingly fruitful. They multiplied greatly, increased in numbers, and became so numerous that the land was filled with them. Then a new king, to whom Joseph meant nothing, came to power in Egypt. "Look," he said to his people, "the Israelites have become far too numerous for us. Come, we must deal shrewdly with them, or they will become even more numerous. And if war breaks out, we'll join our enemies, fight against us, and leave the country." So they put slave masters over them to oppose them with forced labor. And they built Pithom and Ramses as store cities for Pharaoh. But the more they were oppressed, the more they multiplied and spread. So the Egyptians came to dread the Israelites and worked them ruthlessly. They made their lives bitter with harsh labor in brick and mortar, and with all kinds of work in the fields. And all their harsh labor, the Egyptians worked them ruthlessly. The king of Egypt said to the Hebrew midwives, whose names were Shiphrah and Puah, "When you are helping the Hebrew women during childbirth on the delivery stool, if you see that the baby is a boy, kill him. But if it is a girl, let her live." The midwives, however, feared God and did not do what the king of Egypt had told them to do. They let the boys live. Then the king of Egypt summoned the midwives and asked them, "Why have you done this? Why have you let the boys live?" The midwives answered Pharaoh, "Hebrew women are not like Egyptian women. They are vigorous and give birth before the midwives arrive." So God was kind to the midwives, and the people increased and became even more numerous. And because the midwives feared God, he gave them families of their own. Then Pharaoh gave this order to all his people: "Every Hebrew boy that is born, you must throw into the Nile, but let every girl live." Now a man of the tribe of Levi married a Levite woman, and she became pregnant and gave birth to a son. When she saw that he was a fine child, she hid him for 3 months. But when she could hide him no longer, she got a papyrus basket for him and coated it with tar and pitch. Then she placed the child in it and put it among the reeds along the bank of the Nile. His sister stood at a distance to see what would happen to him. Then Pharaoh's daughter went down to the Nile to bathe, and her attendants were walking along the riverbank. She saw the basket among the reeds and sent her female slave to get it. She opened it and saw the baby. He was crying, and she felt sorry for him. "This is one of the Hebrew babies," she said. Then his sister asked Pharaoh's daughter, "Shall I go and get one of the Hebrew women to nurse the baby for you?" "Yes, go," she answered. So the girl went and got the baby's mother. Pharaoh's daughter said to her, "Take this baby and nurse him for me, and I will pay you." So the woman took the baby and nursed him. When the child grew older, she took him to Pharaoh's daughter, and he became her son. She named him Moses, saying, "I drew him out of the water." Matthew 16:13-17:9. When Jesus came to the region of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, "Who do people say the Son of Man is?" They replied, "Some say John the Baptist. Others say Elijah, and still others Jeremiah or one of the prophets." "Well, what about you?" he asked. "Who do you say I am?" Simon Peter answered, "You are the Messiah, the Son of the living God." Jesus replied, "Blessed are you, Simon, son of Jonah, for this was not revealed to you by flesh and blood, but by my Father in heaven. And I tell you that you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of Hades will not overcome it. I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven. Whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven." Then he ordered his disciples not to tell anyone that he was the Messiah. From that time on, Jesus began to explain to his disciples that he must go to Jerusalem and suffer many things at the hands of the elders, the chief priests, and the teachers of the law, and that he must be killed, and on the third day be raised to life. Peter took him aside and began to rebuke him. "Never, Lord," he said. "This shall never happen to you." Jesus turned and said to Peter, "Get behind me, Satan. You are a stumbling block to me. You do not have in mind the concerns of God, but merely human concerns." Then Jesus said to his disciples, "Whoever wants to be my disciple must deny themselves and take up their cross and follow me. For whoever wants to save their life will lose it, but whoever loses their life for me will find it." What good will it be for someone to gain the whole world, yet forfeit their soul? Or what can anyone give in exchange for their soul? For the Son of Man is going to come in his Father's glory with his angels, and then he will reward each person according to what they have done. Truly I tell you, some who are standing here will not taste death before they see the Son of Man coming in his kingdom. After 6 days, Jesus took with him Peter, James, and John, the brother of James, and led them up a high mountain by themselves. There, he was transfigured before them. His face shone like the sun, and his clothes became as white as the light. Just then there appeared before them Moses and Elijah talking with Jesus. Peter said to Jesus, "Lord, it is good for us to be here. If you wish, I will put up 3 shelters, one for you, one for Moses, and one for Elijah." While he was still speaking, a bright cloud covered them, and a voice from the cloud said, "This is my Son, whom I love. With him, I am well pleased. Listen to him." When the disciples heard this, they fell face down to the ground, terrified. But Jesus came and touched them. "Get up," he said. "Don't be afraid." When they looked up, they saw no one except Jesus. As they were coming down the mountain, Jesus instructed them, "Don't tell anyone what you have seen until the Son of Man has been raised from the dead." Psalm 21. For the Director of Music, a Psalm of David. The King rejoices in your strength, Lord. How great is his joy in the victories you give! You have granted him his heart's desire and have not withheld the request of his lips. You came to greet him with rich blessings and placed a crown of pure gold on his head. He asked you for life and you gave it to him, length of days forever and ever. Through the victories you gave, his glory is great. You have bestowed on him splendor and majesty. Surely you have granted him unending blessings and made him glad with the joy of your presence. For the king trusts in the Lord. Through the unfailing love of the Most High, he will not be shaken. Your hand will lay hold on all your enemies. Your right hand will seize your foes. When you appear for battle, you will burn them up as in a blazing furnace. The Lord will swallow them up in his wrath, and his fire will consume them. You will destroy their descendants from the earth, their posterity from mankind. Though they plot evil against you and devise wicked schemes, they cannot succeed. You will make them turn their backs when you aim at them with drawn bow. Be exalted in your strength, Lord. We will sing and praise your might. Proverbs 5:1-6. My son, pay attention to my wisdom. Turn your ear to my words of insight, that you may maintain discretion and your lips may preserve knowledge. For the lips of the adulterous woman drip honey, and her speech is smoother than oil. But in the end, she is bitter as gall, sharp as a double-edged sword. Her feet go down to death. Her steps lead straight to the grave. She gives no thought to the way of life. Her paths wander aimlessly, but she does not know it. Father, we thank you for your word, every word. We thank you for everything that comes our way and teaches us and leads us on the paths of wisdom. We thank you for bringing us through the first book. We're well underway now. We're on our way on this grand voyage through the entire scriptures, and we remain open and observant to all that you bring and all that you need us to understand, that we might be transformed. That day by day, step by step, we look more and more like our Savior and less like the people we used to be, or like our culture or this world. That we are set apart, that we are becoming holy. And so, Holy Spirit, come. Lead us into all truth. Lead us on the narrow path that leads to life. Lead us deeper into Jesus, we pray. Amen.
Hi, DAB family. My name is Quiet Spirit. I just love this platform, not just reading the Bible together, but also praying for each other. And I am praying every time I listen, and I ask for your prayers today. Thursday the 22nd, I will be having a double mastectomy, and I do have a partially collapsed lung that I would like prayer for, not to have any complications with that during the surgery as well. So I know God will get the glory out of this, and I appreciate your prayers. Thank you so much. God bless.
Hello, my DAB family. I think it's still safe to say Happy New Year. This is Viv. Oh, Brian, you are blessed. And I am so grateful that you were obedient to the Lord's call. What you have achieved with the DAB and DABC with your family is, I have no words but God. And I am so grateful that you heed the call and to be salt and light to so many around the world. Congratulations on entering the 21st year of podcasting the Bible. You are a blessed man. Okay, so I am here to just help some people, give some prayers. Christy from Kentucky, you called in about Amanda Grace's husband. Laura, you called in about Ava. Dr. John, you called in about Dr. Steve and his wife. And Father God, Lord Almighty, I just want to lift up these names that I've called. Father, I pray that you will meet each person at the point of their need. And Lord, may you be glorified in whatever it is that you're going to do. Lord, we come to you because we know you hear our prayers, that you answer our prayers. Sometimes not in the way that we expect, Lord, but we do trust you. And so we come, Father, and lift up these names, these situations, Lord, and ask, Lord God, for your healing hands. You are the greatest physician. You are the healing hands that I'm asking to be over these people I've called their names. And Father God, I pray that you will heal, or you will help them, Lord, to find the way to get the treatment that they need. I thank you, Father, and I ask for these mercies in Jesus' name. Amen.
Hi, DAB family. This is Molly from Kentucky. I wanted to call in today to ask you all to pray for an incredible woman in our community. Sally is an amazing leader whose impact spreads far and wide. Her love for the Lord empowers her to touch so many lives for good. She recently received news that her cancer is back for a second time. I ask that you all would lift up Sally. We pray for complete healing, peace, and restoration. Thank you all so much.
Hey, Daily Audio Bible, I just want to remain anonymous. I'm calling in from Canada. My long-term friend, I've known him for like 15 years. I just received word that his dad only has 1 week to live, so just keep him in your prayers. Me and my friends are trying to just be there for him and deal with him which way we can to be there for him. But please pray for him. That'd be much appreciated. Thank you all. Bye-bye.
Hello, Brian and DAB family. This is Shannon from Texas, and I've thought about calling in several times. I haven't called in a while. My story is I was started listening to this in prison November 3 years ago. And yes, my prayers have been answered ever since. I was released from prison early. I was falsely accused and sent to prison, but there's many people in there that have made simple mistakes, and people in there that have been falsely accused, and people in there that have just have mental problems, and I'm praying for all of them, and I'm praying for everyone on the planet. You know, it's this DAB family, this campfire, the prayers here work. I am a living witness to that. I pray for to reconnect with my kids, my three boys. We are together again. I prayed for my health. I got my health back. I prayed for a woman. I've met the most wonderful woman. She's in my life. We've been together for 7 months. Everything is God restores everything. And I just want to encourage other people who are incarcerated or not incarcerated. Don't give up. God is listening, and your prayers will be heard. They will be answered. And I pray for us all in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you. Have a great day.
Father God, we lay this prayer request at your feet for Dr. John in New York, for the baby Adam that is born. Father, we ask this child be raised up under your statutes, your commandments, under the teaching of Jesus Christ. And for the mail at timestamp 31517, I'm sorry I couldn't understand your name, but your heart is acting up again. And Lord, we just ask that you pour out powerful healing in this man's body so that his heart will pump again and work again and strengthen like it is supposed to give him many more years to praise your name. For crucified with Christ, we lift up her three children before you, Lord, for this situation that they are going through. Be with these children, minister to them, and let them walk in righteousness before you. Too blessed to be stressed. Let him settle into this new job, Lord, and bless him in it. And thank you for help healing him from this sickness. And let his ministry shine through to all of the co-workers, Lord, and even to the people that own the company, that they may see that Jesus reigns supreme in his life, and that they may accept salvation's plan. For Jessica in Michigan, who is remodeling her childhood home, she has struggled with depression, and Father, we ask that you snatch up that spirit of depression and take it as far away from her as the east is from the west, Lord, and that she will recover and praise your name for it. For Kelly in California, has to go through the MRI, and Michelle has lost her life, and we pray for Michelle's family. Bring them peace, Father God.